Good afternoon. We'll call the council back into session. We're here this afternoon for two public hearings, and I presume we'll hear both public hearings at one time. We'll combine the two, but yet they'll be voted on individually. With that, I will ask Mr. Griffin, our county attorney, to tell you how we run our public hearings here, which is a little different from planning and zoning. And I don't think they've not made a decision, have they, Mr. Lang?
No, sir.
So we will not make a decision today, waiting for planning and zoning's recommendation. We will have to defer action on it. They have 45 days from the public hearing to make a decision. At that time, it'll be put back on the agenda sometime in the future for a vote. So with that, I will ask Mr. Griffin to tell you the rules and start with the hearings. Mr. Griffin.
Good afternoon. I'll run through the rules of procedure for the benefit of those who may not have attended a council meeting before. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they're legislative hearings. Council uses the information they obtain during this hearing to decide how to render a decision on the application. After each application, well, these are going to be consolidated. So after the two applications are announced, there's conditional use 1758 and 1759. After they're announced, Mr. Lank, the gentleman on the far left in the black shirt, will tell us what happened at the commission hearing and report anything that in the form of minutes that came from that meeting. Also, as you know, the commission has deferred, so council will have to likewise defer until they receive the commission's recommendation. After Mr. Lank is finished, then the applicant will be given an opportunity to make their presentation. After the applicants have finished their presentation, if there's anyone among you who wishes to speak in favor of the application, they will be given a chance to speak. If there's anyone who is in opposition or has a question or a concern, they will be given an opportunity to speak. When it comes your turn, if you wish to speak, before you make your statement, come to the speaker stand and identify yourself by name and address. That allows us, if we ever have to determine who was saying what, to know who made what statements. After everybody's been recognized, then the council will decide whether to leave the record open or whether to close the public hearing record. If they close the public hearing record, the only thing they'll be waiting for will be the recommendation of planning and zoning. This is not a trial or a courtroom, so there's not cross-examination. After the applicant finishes, and then anyone who is in opposition has had their say, that'll basically be it. Each side will not be allowed to question the other side. If you have a cell phone, please turn it off or turn it to silent service. Does anybody have any questions about the procedure we're going to follow?
Can we ask questions as being presented by?
As I said,
Do it later.
If you have an issue, that issue or a question would be raised when you come to the speaker stand. We will ask you not to ask questions during their presentation, and we'll ask them not to interrupt you. Mr. Lank?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, one further thing. Mr. Lank reminded me that at the commission hearing, Mr. Robertson, who is a member of my law firm, indicated that he was abstaining from advising the commission. And the reason for that is that our law firm rents our building that we occupy on Route 1 from Mr. Reed, who is one of the principals in this application. So if after this hearing today, the council has a question on which they wish legal advice, that will be turned over to the assistant county attorney, Rick Burrell, to respond to those questions. So all I will be doing is just directing traffic today. I will not be advising council.
And Mr. Burrell is a representative of a different law firm?
Yes.
Not the same firm.
Why didn't we probably have Mr. Burrell here today then, if we had any questions?
I only heard about this when I came in today.
All right.
Again, as we're going to hold the public hearings for both applications today, and if there won't be any decision because the commission has not yet made a recommendation, And then when it comes back up, the council will discuss it as old business, and it'll be, have to be voted on each application separately. First application is conditional use number 1758, the application of Bridal Ridge Properties LLC. It's an application to consider the conditional use of land in a MR medium-density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 16.18 acres, more or less, lying west of Plantation Road, also referred to as Road 275, and across from Shady Road, also referred to as Road 276. Conditional use 1759, the application Bridal Ridge Properties LLC is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 13 acres more or less, lying at the southwest corner of the intersection of Plantation Road, also known as Road 275, and Beaver Dam Road, also known as Road or Route 23. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on these applications on October 11th of 2007. The applicants had provided an exhibit booklet, which is the same as this document, which is all in the possession of all council members, and it is a part of the record. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, Sussex Conservation District. We had received letters in support from Jay Diaz. There was an applicant present, being Mr. Dyer, on behalf of Bridal Ridge Properties and Bridal Ridge Investment, and with Mark Davis of DC Group, gave testimony. In the text of the report before council, there, it also includes conditions that the applicants proposed or suggested if this application is approved. We heard comments from Robert Steinbeck in support of the application. We heard comments from Mike Bragdon in support of the application. We heard comments from Ed Mucci, if I said that wrong, I apologize, and Joe Campos in opposition to the application. And there's a summary before council of the opposition for the statements made. The commission, after public hearing, deferred action on both conditional use 1758 and 1759 and left the record open for and receipt of legal counsel opinion on the memo provided by the applicant and for further consideration. Based on that deferral and leaving the record open, I wrote a memorandum to Richard Burrell, the assistant county attorney, with an attached copy of the memo that was provided by the applicant and asking him for a legal opinion. And in so, he did respond on October 25th. And for this, it's not very long. If I bear with me, I'll read it to the record. I reviewed your October 17th memo and attachments relating to an open landing. My understanding is that phase four of the subdivision will be eliminated entirely from the subdivision under the developer's plans. Under Sussex County Code Section 99-13A, the approval of 51% of lot owners is necessary for resubdivision only. In the event the alteration or resubdivision results in increased density within the subdivision. According to the calculations provided by the developer, the overall density of Phase 1, 2, and 3 will be reduced with the elimination of Phase 4. Assuming the acreage and number of units used in those calculations is accurate, I would agree with the developer that the issue need not be open to lot owners for any voting purpose. The fact that an entire phase or portion of a subdivision is essentially being eliminated is of no consequence. If, for example, the developer simply decided to merge lots in phase four so as to reduce the number of lots, the end result would be the same, a reduction in density, which would not appear to trigger the voting requirements in section 99-13A. There are a number of citations in the developer's memo to various restrictive covenants already on record. I have not reviewed those restrictions, nor do I believe it necessary to review them with respect to this opinion. It is not the county's job to enforce private contracts or rights between property owners, which is essentially what restrictive covenants accomplish. If one or more residents believe that the elimination of Phase 4 will violate the restrictive covenants, that owner or owners will have every right to seek private enforcement. If there are any other issues that you think are impacted, or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact me. And it's signed, Richard E. Burrell, Jr.
The synopsis of that is, would be what?
The synopsis of that is that it would not be required that the zoning department receive 51% verification of approval from the landowners, since we're not increasing density. I received a fax from Mr. Joe and Annette Campos on the 29th, voicing additional opposition. I'm assuming Mr. Campos is here and he's going to speak. I'll pass this down for review, and Mr. Campos can take his opinion. That's fine. That's all right. You can present it when you come up. I also had copies in the record, just for reference, from Jay Diaz in support, and also from Estelle Newbling, I hope I pronounced that right, also in support. And that's all I have, gentlemen, if you have questions.
The ordinance that requires, Lawrence, the participation of the homeowners in a change, does it actually say that it has to increase density?
The reference to 51% references increased density.
Right. Yes, it does. Okay, that's what I'm saying. I don't have it in front of me, so I don't know.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Any other questions? The applicant ready to proceed?
Yes. Thank you. Mr. President, members of council, my name is Pret Dyer. I am a member of the applicant. With me this afternoon is Mark Davidson of DC Group and Joe Reed, who is also a member of the applicant. At this time, I would like for Mr. Reed to submit a memorandum. It's the memorandum that Mr. Lank was referring to. We went back and checked the numbers that Mr. Burrell reviewed. Essentially, there were some discrepancies. The impact, however, was the same, that we were not increasing density. In fact, we were decreasing density.
Thank you.
The difference in the memorandum reflects the Del Dot right-of-way being included in one set of calculations, and the second set of calculations are referred to as a net acreage, with the right-of-way dedication being taken out. It's important for you to note, Mr. Reed also passed out the conditions, which are already in the record, but I just thought you would want to have that. It's important to note that if we go back and look, and I would direct your attention to the larger drawings. This is the original site plan, and for the audience, this would be in this area. If you look at the area on the corner, that is referred to in the memo and in the restrictions as the annex property, and it was 13.41 acres with the right-of-way, which would be this portion. I guess it was a 15-foot. What was the width of the dedication?
10 feet.
So it was a 10-foot dedication to Del Dot for improvement, which is, as you are aware, on many, if not all, of your applications. Del Dot requires that for their entrance approval. The original project included sections 1, 2, 3, and this section here as 4. The original Henlopen Landing rezoning to MR encompassed 105.47 acres. That was with the Del Dot right-of-way, and 104 0.46 without it. So what we have before us is our desire to withdraw Phase 4 from Henlopen Landing. Now, Phase 4 is, the Phase 4 area is 16.37 acres, again, with the right-of-way, and 16.18 without the right-of-way. As Mr. Lenk indicated, Henlopen Landing received our approval on October 24th. This is a recap of your memorandum. October 24th, 2002, for four phases. 105.47 acres with 277 lots for a density of 2.63 lots per acre. The acreage without the right-of-way is 104.46, and so that would yield 2.65 lots per acre. Now, what we did when we did the restrictions, we included the extra 13.41 acres, which is referred to as the annex property, in the restrictions, and although they were not part of Henlopen Landing, we provided that we would have the right to add that property, but not the obligation to add or annex that property at some time in the future. Section 4.6 of our restrictions, which is entitled Changes in Boundaries, gives a developer the right to change, realign the boundaries of the common area, any lot or portion of the development owned by the developer, including the realignment of boundaries between adjacent lots and common areas. Section 2.1.1 gives the developer the right to make changes in the location of the boundaries of common area, any utility system, any recreational facility, and any lot owned by the developer. Section 2.1.2 empowers the developer to plan, design, develop, and construct as the developer deems appropriate for its purposes. The common area, the annex property, and the developer owned lots. The section goes on to say that this reservation of right includes without limitation the right to change the number, shape, size, and location of lots, the shape, size, and locations of common area, utility systems, recreational areas, annex property, or any part thereof. So as a recap, we have decided again to take Phase 4 out of the overall approval. And by doing so, we went back and reviewed the restrictions, and we also went back, as Mr. Lenk had indicated, and reviewed your ordinance with regard to consents. The existing plan, again, the recap is on the top of page 2. The existing plan shows 2.63 lots per acre with the DLDOT right-of-way and 2.65 lots per acre without the DLDOT right-of-way. When you take Phase 4 out, which, by the way, was approved for 46 single-family lots, when you take that out, you end up with 2.59 lots per acre because the new density would go from 277 to 231, and that is with the DLDOT right-of-way. With the DLDOT right-of-way out, you go from 2.65 to 2.62 lots per acre. The important consideration here, and we've had several meetings with the homeowners associations and many of the residents therein, the property will be totally Henlopen Landing if this conditional use, being both conditional uses, are granted, will be totally separate. Phase 4 will no longer be a part of Henlopen Landing. The new townhouse project, if it were approved, would have its own governance body, it would have its own homeowners association, it would have its own amenity package, and the residents of the new project will not be entitled to utilize any of the amenities of Henlopen Landing. In other words, the townhouse project will be totally distinct and separate, which is consistent with its geographic location on the other side of the 70-foot wide right-of-way known as Salt Marsh Boulevard. Now, Salt Marsh Boulevard, and many of you will remember this, DelDOT came up with the grid road concept. And I think many of you, probably all of you, were involved in an analysis of that DelDOT proposal. We adopted that proposal. We embraced it. We thought it was a very good proposal. As a result, we incorporated Salt Marsh Boulevard. Now, initially, our expectation was that DelDOT was going to take that road over. We offered that, and then through their withdrawal of the grid road concept, they told us, if you wish to include it, you may do so at our cost, but that they would not maintain it. So we still embrace the concept, and we, in fact, as you're aware, that the entrance of Salt Marsh Boulevard on Plantation Road lines up with Shady Road. So we developed that road as a private road, and it does separate from a geographic perspective as well as a physical perspective the intense commercial utilization, which you're aware of, across Plantation Road, which is the Lowe's big box. Additionally, when we did the restrictions, we added a notation on the restrictions and in the restrictions, and in fact it was signed by the purchasers of Henlopen Landing, that a potential use for the 13.41 acres with the right-of-way, or 13 acres without, would be for a commercial rezoning. The reason for that is, as you're aware, Route 1 would lie on the other side of the Lowe's property, and some of the property, which is the annex property, is within 600 feet from Route 1, although it's not zoned commercial currently. It's currently zoned AR. So in anticipation of that as a possibility, we noticed the homeowners who purchased within Henlopen Landing that was in fact a possibility. Our analysis of that possibility was that we looked at many different factors, smart growth being one that the county has endorsed in some seminars, and we felt that the transitional zoning from the very intense commercial utilization to the single family that exists, that we felt that a multifamily project in the middle of that would be more appropriate than a residential and a commercial property if we were able to obtain that rezoning. We did go to the homeowners, we explained that, and the majority of the homeowners at the meeting that I attended were in favor of that. We do believe that the importance of the 70-foot right-of-way is a physical separation, and I will get into that aspect later in the presentation. I think at this point it would be appropriate, while we're talking about surrounding uses, for Mr. Davidson to review the adjacent properties in the area.
Good afternoon. I'm Mark Davidson with the Design Consultants Group in Milton, Delaware. If you look over this chart here, in the surrounding areas within this proposal that the tape, we have several projects that are of this type of being townhouses and condominiums, and that they are with a little bit more increased density than what we are proposing. In this area right here is where we're proposing the villas at the Cape. Across the to the north of that property, or to the northeast along Shady Road, there's a property called Eagle Point Carriage Homes, which has a density of 5.9 units per acre. Going to the northwest of that piece of property, again within the vicinity, of this site is a property called Sandbar Village Condominiums, and it's at 12 units per acre. Of course, in this area here, under preliminary approval right now, I believe, is the vineyards at Nassau Valley, and there are approximately 11 units per acre.
What is the zoning of each of these sites that we were talking, because when you say 10 and 12, it's obvious they were zoned commercial, right?
Commercial. There are, again, going down Plantations East, which is right down Plantations Roads at 5.3 units per acre. And I'm, they might be under an MR conditional use if I...
RPC.
It's an RPC. Some of the other projects that are, again, in the area are, there is the Plantations project, which is right across from Plantations East. I do not have a unit count on that, but they do have townhouses and condominiums there. Again...
It's overall density of 4.3 combined.
But they were two separate projects.
Approved as one.
Both Plantations?
East and west.
Don't know about that.
Okay.
I did work on that project also, so it came in as two separate.
We'll have to settle that later.
Again, within the vicinity here, there are other projects. The Villages of Lewis is at 6.6 against Vantage Point at 10 units per acre. So you can see by this chart that there are other projects within the area that are townhouses and condominiums that have a little bit more density, if not an increased density over what we are proposing.
Speak up a little bit. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
What is your proposed density while we're...
5.44.
5.44.
That's with the Del Dot land out?
Yeah, if you take the Del Dot dedication out.
Not the dedicated,
well. Right, if you take the... Within this area here, and Mr. Dyer will be talking on it a little bit more, is there's a future conveyance here of land. If you take that out of the overall acreage that is being proposed today, there's a 5.44 units per acre. With that future conveyance in there, the density is 4.73 units per acre.
Well, when you say conveyance, you're selling that, right, too? That piece will be sold off, correct?
I'll address that when I can. Is that right?
Okay. It's not a gift. I'm just trying to establish that. It's a gift.
I'll address that.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just trying to get a feel of what we're doing right now. So the combined site, the site where the 46 single families are today, or approved for today, and the additional 13 acres, is that what we're looking at?
That is correct.
It's not, so it's a total of how many acres? 13 plus?
16.
Plus, it's 29.188.
So we're looking at 29 acres.
That's correct.
Plus. Okay. That density is 5.
Again, taking out the future conveyance for Delta, it would be 5.44.
5.44.
Units per.
Okay. Can I just clarify something in my mind while I'm on this density thing? The 16 acres where the 45 units are, that density currently today is what, 2 point something?
It's on that memo.
2.65 or something.
2.62.
Or 62. Okay, 2.6 plus or minus. Okay, and the density of the 13 acres you're asking for is. How's that?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get a clarification on all this density.
I don't think the density is a separate issue from the adjoining properties, but I'll address that, and then maybe we can go back to that if that's okay. The total acreage of the annex property The total acreage here,
right,
of the two combined properties, which is the annex property in Phase 4, is 29.18 acres with the right-of-way out. We might as well assume the right-of-way out because it's already been dedicated, so that's the cleanest way to look at this. Okay? Now, 138 units within that area is 4.73 units per acre. Okay? Now, we went to DelDOT, and the original, and I think many of you remember this as well, the original proposal from DelDOT at some point was for a park and ride. So I would say we've had that conversation for at least, what, 2.5 years, maybe more, 3 years. So we went back to DelDOT and we said, are you, even though, you know, part of their grid road proposal was a park and ride. So we went back to DelDOT and we said, are you still interested in your park and ride situation? And they said yes. And we then submitted to DelDOT a conceptual plan of the project as you see it, as is drawn from the villas at the Cape with 138 units. They went back and reviewed our previous traffic impact study, and they also reviewed the 2003 SR1 land use and transportation study. And when they extracted the 46 units that were already approved and then compared those to the 138 units which are proposed, they found that it was consistent with our previous traffic impact study as well as consistent with their SR1 study, which was done in 2003. Now, the reason I cannot answer the question as to whether or not it's a sale or whether it's a gift is if I go on record as to what that is, then that could and would impact any opportunity for deductibility of that conveyance if it were to be a gift, because it would then become a condition. So we have it very carefully listed as a possible future conveyance. So, Mr. Call, I'm not trying to be evasive of your question.
And how many acres is that conveyance total?
3.8 acres.
3.8 acres.
Yes, sir.
So what you're asking for is to try to get the density out of that 3.88 acres, or you're not? You're taking that 3.8 out?
I'm giving it to you both ways, so you can make that decision yourself. Okay. What I'm telling you is with the 3.8 acres included, the density is 4.73 units per acre. And I'm telling you, because this is a conditional use, that if you wish to assume a net acreage, which is 25.38 acres, that density is 5.44 units per acre. Do I need to go over that? Is that clear to everybody? Okay, thank you.
But it's zoned currently. Let me just get this straight. You keep talking about
it's currently
you're going to be at reducing density, and your current zoning is AR.
The current zoning on this piece, the 13 acres, is AR. The current zoning on the 16.18 acres is MR from the original project. So there's two. That's why there's two conditional uses.
But you've got approval for only 45 units there?
46.
46 units, okay. Which is about, what, 2.6 units to the acre, which was the overall density. So
2.65.
I'm trying to figure out how we're getting less density if there's 40-some there and you got AR zoning in the on the corner.
Because you are talking about
34 units, maybe.
Because it has nothing to do with this. Put that other map back up there, please.
We're supposed to forget all that.
Yeah. No, you're not supposed to forget anything.
We approved it. We gave it to you. Now we're supposed to take it back or something?
The 9913 deals with what is left, okay? The original project. It's much easier if you look at the total project and then take that out. What is left? What is the density of Henlopen Landing after you take Phase 4 out? So you've got to think about two things. Only only think about the analysis of the density as it relates to Henlopen Landing for what is left.
So I got to think about it the way you want me to think about it.
No, you can. No, you think about it the way that the ordinance is read.
We don't need that.
Okay.
It might help if you go back and read Section 9913. Why don't we read Section 9913?
Okay. Yeah, I don't have that 9913 in front of me.
I think I do.
But I'm just trying to get clear. All I can see right now is there's 45 units
yeah,
on those.
Yeah, there's zoning code.
16 acres.
Oh, there we have.
And the other is zoned AR, which is two point something units to the acre. All I see there in that area is a total of the 45 that are there. Why would we want to?
Section 9913 says if you change any portion of a subdivision, then if you increase density within the subdivision, not outside, this will no longer be part of the subdivision.
Well, I understand
if
all
you,
that.
Okay, well, then keep going then. Because if you understand that, you're going to understand the second part.
But I understand why you're
and
doing it.
And the outside of phases 1, 2, and 3, is the test of the density, of whether you increase it or whether you decrease it. Okay, are we still on board?
Yeah, there's many ways to skin the cat, and you're...
No, I'm reading the ordinance. I'm not skinning any cat. I'm reading the ordinance. And you also have an opinion from Mr. Burrell, who agrees with
my... Who's not here. We can't use this guy. We can't use these other guys.
He would be here when you deliberate.
That's a little late.
Well, that's when you ask legal questions.
Well, I know, but when you see these guys on the agenda, you should know you have a conflict, and we ought to have this prepared earlier. I don't know. It's hard to... We're at a disadvantage today, Jim.
Well... Nobody tell me.
Okay. I can read the agenda like the rest of us.
So in the analysis of 9913, the analysis, and you have that very clearly written on the top of page 2. And if you look at that, you can see the existing plan is 104.46 acres. And you can see that the density there is 2.65 lots per acre.
Right.
Right? Okay. And then underneath it says, and it's underlined, for emphasis, where it says amended plan, and that's phases 1, 2, and 3. And when you take the acreage of what is left and divide it by how many lots are left, which is 231, you get 2.62 lots per acre. So you can see that 2.62 is less than 2.65, hence Mr. Burrell's opinion.
Okay, now then, you've taken that away.
Yes.
Now, we're supposed to now, when we've approved it for only 2.65,
that's correct.
Now we're getting an increase in density.
That's exactly correct.
Right. It seemed to me there was trying to be the appearance of we're reducing density, so let's move on. You know, what's the problem here? We're actually, by doing what we're doing here today, we're increasing the density of this area.
That is correct. And we're adding 13 acres to that equation. 13 acres... Which also
still, it's an increase in density no matter what. We're well over the 2.65.
That's
per
absolutely
unit
correct.
That we were looking at this area.
Absolutely correct.
Right. Okay.
And that's why Mr. Davidson went back and reviewed, regardless of the zoning, because at some point those projects, you know, some of those are within 600 feet of Route 1, and some of them aren't, and some of them are very appropriate because this is an environmentally sensitive developing area. Hence the term developing area. It's also in a level 2 and a level 3 for the state strategies for spending map, which the state encourages developers to provide density that is appropriate to the particular location of the property.
So they're encouraging you, in one of the busiest intersections in this part of the county, to put higher density?
Yes.
The state of Delaware is doing
that. The state of Delaware is doing that, and I will refer you to the only...
It.
Well, I need to read
and
you this.
It's your interpretation is all I'm thinking.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Attached is a copy. This is a letter from Connie Holland, Constance C. Holland, to be exact. This is the only plus comment letter that I have ever gotten. I will frame this one after this hearing that refers to a project... as all of the issues having been addressed. Attached is a copy of the letters received from Mark Davison of DC Group. regarding their response to the state agency comments received through the preliminary land use services, which is PLUS, for the villas at the Cape, a.k.a. Hennepin Landing, located on the south side of the intersection of Plantation Road and Beaver Dam Road. I've also attached a copy of our original comments dated June the 13th, 2006. Excuse me. After reviewing Mr. Davidson's letter, it appears that the developer has addressed all our concerns regarding the development of this property. If you have any questions, please contact me. Again, I believe that is in the record. Is that correct, Mr. Lang?
No.
No?
That letter, yes.
The letter is? Okay.
The response from Mr. Davidson is not.
Okay. I think the written response is in your booklet. Right. Okay.
That could be.
Yeah. All right. So I think the point is, and I went through that, and I'll go through that when I review the conditions for the environmentally sensitive, but I would reiterate that DelDOT came back under the Trip Generation Journal. There is a smaller trips per day allocated to townhouses than there is for a single family. So when they went back and reevaluated the removal of 46 at a higher trip quotient and the addition of 138, then they were of the opinion that we fell within our original TIS, and that letter is also in the file from Bill Brockenbrow, and that additionally it fell within their 2003 SR1 traffic study and land use study. At this point, I would like to go through the conditions for the environmentally sensitive development district with emphasis on the notion that it is a development district. On subsection A, stormwater, we have actually voluntarily submitted a nutrient budget analysis. At this point, I'm sure you're aware the DNREC is investigating new regulations, and we have submitted a nutrient budget analysis in compliance with proposed regulations, which are much stricter than the current one, and we meet those new proposed requirements. We are proposing dry ponds on the site. We're proposing rain gardens, bioinfiltration areas and methods, natural parks, and vegetated landscaping. Again, we will be subject to all of SCD and DRAC's requirements with regard to stormwater management, but we have demonstrated above and beyond our ability to meet those. The water will be supplied by Tidewater, wastewater. The county has submitted an indication that they have, with our agreement to upgrade the pumps and the pump station, which we built for Hennepin Landing, that there is adequate capacity for 138 units. Subsection D is traffic, and again, there is more than ample evidence to submit that DelDOT is in agreement with this project. There are no endangered species. There are no wetlands. The open space requirement, there is a total of 13.94 acres of open space on the property, which represents 48%. The community space, natural places and areas and parks, there's a clubhouse and a park area which encompasses 4 acres, and that includes a clubhouse, a swimming pool, sidewalks, jogging paths, and Hilton Head style paths. We have 1.46 miles of sidewalk paths and pedestrian paths. There's landscape areas and or usable lawn area for passive recreation. The stormwater management areas are included in the passive active recreational open space calculations because they significantly enhance the park-like setting of the open space and the overall passive recreational experience for its users. On the plan, if you can look at the plan, it's kind of important for you to note that the units themselves actually back up to one another into park areas and courtyards. And we have intentionally done that so that it's not a bifurcated space. In fact, it's a space which makes it very accessible and usable. Again, the public infrastructure is already in place. In fact, we paid for the pump station for Henlopen Landing. The economic, recreational, and other benefits include the Salt Marsh Boulevard, again, that we built at our cost. It's a grid road. I think it's important for us to also point out that grid road will be maintained by the residents and homeowners association of the villas at the Cape and not by the owners at Henlopen Landing. The additional benefit is the opportunity for DelDOT. They came back, the completion of the story is that DelDOT came back to us and said, we've changed our mind, we're still interested in that additional land, but we have decided to do roadway improvements. And I think that this addresses in part what Mr. Cole is saying. The plantation road, and clearly what DelDOT has done in the different intersections there would not be something that I think that they should try to replicate. And it's something that we believe needs to be addressed. The conveyance of the 3.8 acres in whatever form that may take, DelDOT has indicated that they would utilize that for their new roadway improvements that they have earmarked for that Five Points area. Now, that clearly is a benefit to not only the residents of Henlopen Landing, the residents that if the project were approved, the villas at the Cape, but it's clearly a benefit to all of the neighboring areas. The multifamily provides for more open space, again, a very large 48% of the amount of open space, a reduced impervious area, groundwater recharge, decreased pollutants. Another thing is that the reason DelDOT supports the project is we are not asking for another entrance on any of the state roads. The entrance for the villas will come off of Salt Marsh Boulevard. That will be the only entrance available to the community. We have probably increased to a large extent the amount of walkways and bike paths. And we have provided the additional amenities on the site so as to not impact in any sense negatively the amenity package for Henlopen Landing. There are no historic or cultural sites on the property. The state asked that we would provide a buffer to Belltown, and what we have, obviously the conveyance to the state provides some buffer. And then we have a pond also that is located in that area. You can see that on your map, which provides additional buffer to the Belltown Historic District. That will also provide a bioinfiltration pond and landscaping, which again has economic benefits. As I mentioned earlier, we are within the environmentally sensitive developing area. We are within level 2 and 3 of the state, and we are adjacent to existing infrastructures and services required for development. The multifamily is an approved type of housing type within the environmentally sensitive development district, and again, it's consistent with DelDOT's requirements. The mitigation of concerns. We met with the Homeowners Association. We've had a number of issues at Henlopen Landing regarding drainage, and what we have in fact done is we have earmarked, Mark, is it this one and this one?
Yes.
Those two areas, and for the audience, those two areas there. We have earmarked for additional drainage that will benefit Henlopen Landing. There's a pipe that's already under the road, and originally the pipe was all of Phase 4 was to drain into Henlopen Landing. So what we have done is there's a pond at issue on Henlopen Landing called Pond Number 2, and we have met with the Homeowners Association. We're waiting for them to make a decision, but we are willing, if they choose as a Homeowners Association body, to come back to us. We will accept the drainage from Pond 2 when before all of Phase 4 would have been draining into Henlopen Landing. Now we're willing to take drainage from Pond 2. There was a question as to whether or not the people who purchased understood that it was a wet pond or whether it was a dry pond. So in order to try to incorporate their expectation, if the Homeowners Association deems it, we will provide these, and those two ponds will be maintained at the cost of the villas at the Cape. So Henlopen Landing will benefit and have that mitigated. Another very positive is the 3.8 acres, if that were to be utilized as either mass transit or if that were to be utilized as roadway improvements, clearly is a benefit to Henlopen Landing residents, future villas at the Cape residents, as well as the entire region. The concept of the bioinfiltration in the rain gardens, Mr. Davison can address that if you have questions. I'm not well versed in that. And DLDOT's agreement that our access points be along, again, a private road which is maintained by and at the cost of the villas at the Cape is clearly a benefit. The conditions, I think you have that as part of your package. The conditions that we would propose are as follows. The developer of the villas at the Cape agrees to limit the total number of units to 138 multifamily villa homes. Phase 4 of Henlopen Landing will be withdrawn from the approved subdivision, obviously if it's approved. Salt Marsh Boulevard will be maintained, repaired, and replaced by the Homeowners Association of the Villas at the Cape. The Villas at the Cape will grant an easement for stormwater management as shown on the plan in favor of Henlopen Landing, as I've just described to you. The Villas at the Cape will only have access from Salt Marsh Boulevard with no additional access points from Plantation Road or Beaver Dam Road. The Villas at the Cape will have its own amenity package, which shall include a clubhouse, pool, 1.46 miles of walking trails, school bus stop, and open space. DLDOT also commented and Transportation Department that they wanted a school bus stop within the project, and we've also provided that. The residents at the Villas at the Cape will not have any privileges or obligations to pay for the utilization of the amenities of Henlopen Landing. The developer of the Villas at the Cape agreed to install four-way stop signs at the two access points on Salt Marsh Boulevard and to install street lights along Salt Marsh Boulevard, as well as install internal street lights within the Villas at the Cape. The developer of the Villas at the Cape agreed to construct the clubhouse and pool prior to the conveyance of the first villa unit. The developer of the villa, and the reason for that is so as to not have any negative impact on utilization of Henlopen Landing amenities. The developers of the Villas of the Cape agree that the sanitary sewer collection system will be installed in accordance with Sussex County standards and agrees to pay for the cost of the upgrade of the existing pump station. In conclusion, what we think we have presented is a very compelling case for the approval of this conditional use. I think that the density, and just assume the more dense scenario of 5.44 units per acre, I think given the proximity to Lowe's, obviously being a very large commercial box, that it would make it more appropriate for the multifamily product here as opposed to having an incorporation of single family here and us coming back for either a commercial use, obviously that would be subject to your discretion, subject to your approval, or some other type use. The surrounding properties, regardless of the zoning classification, I know Mr. Cole's point was that some of those properties were zoned commercial. Some of those have been rezoned in RPC, conditional use, and MR. It is very appropriate in your plan, and again, I would echo back to many times that I have spoken to you. When a development district dictates intense development such as a Lowe's, how can it not be appropriate to have 5.44 units per acre of townhouses in a villa, 28-foot wide type product? How can that not be appropriate? I think the density, in fact, could be more like a 10, but we chose to make it a more modest density of 5.44 units per acre. I think it's entirely consistent with the land uses that Mr. Davison showed you, which are even further from commercial districts than ours. The fact that 600 feet does overlap a portion of this property, I think, is a very compelling reason also. So based upon the record, we would respectfully request that you would grant this conditional use. Thank you.
Pratt, on the plan, engineering department?
Uh-huh.
Address that. I've got their little sheet they send you, mm-hmm. And in kind of bold print they said system design assumption is a maximum of 4 units to the acre.
And yeah, we went back to them. We've been through intense discussions with Rob Davis and our engineer at Davis Bone & Friedel, mm-hmm. And they've gone back and there is a was it an email or a letter from Rob that said that. We have the ability to upgrade the pumps that are on there, which again we installed and paid for that pump station.
Right. Well, that's addressed in here. They do say that that's to help just to push the stuff along, but they're still saying the assumption is.
It's also saying there's capacity. It's not just to push it. There's capacity in the system as well as the lines.
Let me see where it says capacity because I haven't seen anything. I haven't been able to find anything in what we have here is that there is capacity. Because my understanding is there's problems.
Well, and the other, Mr. Reed just pointed out, the 4 units to an acre is for the entire 105 acres, which is the other reason that they were in agreement and the design was within their requirements.
But we don't have anybody from engineering department to clarify that. All right, we need clarification because they're looking at your application of this, and they're stating here is it.
I'm very confident. You go back to your engineering.
Well, that's what I'd like to see. Yeah, I'm just
that's
asking. I'm just trying to see if there's a clarification on that one. So I'm still a little confused. Well, you're saying that your higher density would be preferable to the 45 units that we have at single-family homes and more environmentally sensitive? Environmentally sensitive developing district, and you emphasize the developing part. On the environmental part of the sensitive developing district is...
It's even better. You're making a very good point because it's even better.
And that's,
because we have... What on the old plan, the 46 lots,
mm-hmm.
Right there, I don't want to blind Mr. Davidson. What amount of open space do you see within the 46?
Well, around every house there's open space.
That's within a lot.
There's less parking. There's less parking lot, less impervious area with that plan, I bet.
No.
You know what I'm
saying? There's 40. In the new plan, there's 46% open space. Is it 46?
48.
So in this plan, the open space is probably less than what? Less than 5%. In the new plan, the open space for two... Now, again...
Now, are you calculating, Mark, the space between buildings, right, in the multifamily? When you get 48%, you calculate the space between the buildings, right? Or are you just looking at the areas you've designated on your plan as open space?
I can show you. The area that we designated as open space...
Is 47%?
It's 48%. Yes, there's 40-foot separations between each building. So yes, we've included that.
Okay, but the Rose Garden, whatever park, and the other Rose Garden park.
Yes, so they're all included as open space.
Okay, are you including the Okay, and the open space between the, where the building setbacks, okay. But on this, when you look at a single family, you don't include the yard. A yard is open space.
That's correct. That's never been included in the open space calculation.
Okay. It's one way of looking at it.
Anything else, Mr. Cole?
Could I respond to Mr. Cole's?
Which one? Which issue?
It's coming.
Yes, go ahead.
Joe Reed. I'm a member of Bridal Ridge Properties, where I think Mr. Cole may be...
confused?
Well, or looking at it, in my opinion, potentially looking at it wrong the way I see it is. I mean, I think that we have demonstrated, and I don't think you're arguing with the fact that we have the right to withdraw that 16 acres from Henlopen Landing.
Well, I prefer what you have in the 16 acres to the multifamily.
Well, I mean, and right.
Personally.
But I don't think that's the best use of that land up against the Lowe's and that.
Well, you originally thought it was.
Well, that I don't think we realize, and also that that road that we built, how that separated that 28 acres from Henlopen Landing. So we've made a decision. We're withdrawing. I mean, we intend to withdraw that from Henlopen Landing. So Henlopen Landing density is slightly reduced. It's withdrawn. So now what's before you is this application for 28 acres, and is this an appropriate use of that 28 acres? But, I mean, and you keep going back to 46 lots. I mean,
well, no. What I'm looking, what I'm looking at is we had an application a couple years back that gave us 2.65 units per acre. Mm-hmm. Not bad, right. You know, in an area that's very congested, has lots of problems, sewer problems. I think if our engineering department was here, we would hear about sewer issues in that area, about the lack of capacity in the future, problems, traffic problems. You know, on and on. We got all the problems right there. It's probably one of the worst spots, like I said. And what we're looking at now is an application to pull something out, but then what we put back in adds to the density, which is part of the problem.
Right. Well,
I'm just trying to figure out how is that better than what we have here today. I like what we have.
Well, you like the 13 acres of open space, which isn't going to.
Well,
that's
no,
not a realistic.
No, I'd rather. Okay.
That's going to be developed.
Well,
and
okay,
I think
I
it's going to be developed more intensely than what's proposed.
I asked early on, why didn't you include that? And it's because you guys were sitting back thinking of something. What were you going to do? Maybe you
thought it was an appropriate commercial space, is my own opinion. It's right there at 5 points.
Which would require rezoning, which would probably be difficult.
Directly across the entrance from Lowe's, lines right up with Lowe's main entrance. But I've been in these meetings before, and one that comes to mind is like Jungle Gyms and Marsh Island, where I believe even the record would indicate that even you believe that, and I think that project was about 8 units an acre, that transitional zoning from the intense commercial use of Jungle Gyms to the Rehoboth Country Club, that the multifamily units at that 6 to 8 units an acre density was appropriate. And so I would submit that if we were coming in here, which is what we're doing, with 28 acres between Lowe's and the Henlopen Landing project, bordered by Plantations Road and Salt Marsh Boulevard, with a project of 5.4 units per acre and with 48% open space.
You may look upon that favorably,
but you got to get away from the 46 is there now, because that's kind of...
Well, that's what you're trying to get us to get me to.
Right, I'm trying to. That's correct. The other thing, if you're looking in the booklet on the Del Dot tab, I think the last page of it, there's a fold-out, and it shows the proposed improvements that Del Dot is planning on making, which I think will greatly improve the movement of traffic at that intersection, which is probably not going to happen otherwise. But if you look at that, they looks like they actually have a decent plan this time, as opposed to what currently exists there. But thank you.
The only thing that I would add is, if you are analyzing the 29 acres, the question is, and we asked that question to the Homeowners Association at Henlopen Landing, is which in their mind would be preferable, to have 46 units of single family and the attempt, and I think a very compelling argument for asking for commercial utilization there is the 600-foot line. I think there's a pretty strong precedential value to 600 feet being an appropriate commercial designation along Route 1. So in our analysis, and this goes back, it's very easy to sit here today and say, well, you guys did come in with 46 units there, which is absolutely correct, but you can't look at it as just phase four. You must look at it as 29 acres. And when you look at it as 29 acres, then you must ask yourself the question, which is better? And we asked the Homeowners Association that very thing. Which do you think is more appropriate? And they felt, again, I'm not saying that it's a guarantee that the commercial would occur. I think that that issue does not need to be addressed, because I think the transitional zoning, if 6 to 8 units was an appropriate zoning designation for a project that you voted on near Jungle Gyms, then I would submit to you that that same rationale that you used then would be appropriate. The magnitude of the Lowe's commercial utilization here, I would think, would be a very strong parallel to Jungle Gyms in terms of intensity and appropriateness of zoning.
I personally would rather live next to Lowe's than to Jungle Gym.
All right.
But one other question. Wouldn't it be 25 acres, though, that you're looking at to develop if you're giving off the 3.88?
25.3.
So if you did that at the calculation that the engineering department is looking at, is it 4 units to the acre, unless I see something different? They're saying that their capacity is at 4 units to the acre. You're looking at about 100 units.
How many units are left over if you multiply 4 times 88? 0.28.
No, where you said to forget about it. We're looking
at 29 acres. If you're going to compare apples to apples, the engineering department is within your purview. I didn't tell them to write an approval.
I understand that, but they
had 4 units figured in there.
The years, they've given away additional density.
Mr. Cole, any additional questions?
No, I'm not so concerned about the townhouses versus single family. It's more of the.
We've heard that in the last hour and a half, hour and a quarter. Mr. Phillips,
ask
questions?
A question. Go ahead.
No.
Mr. Rogers, Mr. Jones.
I got it. It says on the sheet here, you were saying 5 point something, but on here it says on your hit list on the print, it says 4.73.
That's with the 3.8 acres included in that calculation.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. And then the 5 point something.
5.44 with the Dell dot
so 3.8
land out
down.
Of.
Okay.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
That concludes your presentation?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of this application? Would you please come forward and state your name and your address and make your statement?
Members of the council, my name is Mike Bragdon. I live at 33280 Harbor Reach in Henlopen Landing. I have another investment property also in that project. The reason I speak for it, it's going to be a little redundant. I believe that I would prefer to have the townhouses there than the single family and potential commercial. I think it'd be better for us. The second issue is stormwater management. We've had some issues in Henlopen Landing with stormwater. Much of it's been addressed, but as was said, that, as I calculate, the approximate area is about 18% to 20%. That will not be coming into our stormwater management. They'll have their own system. In fact, there's the bonus if a decision's made to make pond 2 wet, that instead of water going from pond 2 into pond 3 solely, that there's the potential for overflow if we get to that point going into adjacent ponds in the villas at the Cape. The third issue would be traffic. I have to think that, it's not as simple as one and one. Having 46 single-family homes and 138 townhomes, if that was the case, then I'd rather have 46 townhomes. But when you add in the potential for commercial property and not knowing what's in there, you're going to have a lot more traffic going into commercial property. That would increase the traffic on Salt Marsh Boulevard. In addition, we would like to take over our development sooner than later. Taking 46 homes out of there makes that a whole lot sooner. In addition, there's less wear and tear on the facilities we have, the amenities in our community. The other issue, there's some concessions made by the developer to us that they're going to have their own amenities over there, so they're not drawing on us. Second, they're going to be responsible for maintenance of Salt Marsh Boulevard. That takes a burden off of us. The developer, as he has testified both in planning board and here, has agreed to add street lighting and stop signs on that road, again at the expense of the Cape, the villas at the Cape. You know, I've heard all kinds of rumors from other people, and there might have been a petition circulated about they're going to put $180,000 townhomes in there. I find that hard to believe at 28-foot wide units, because you're going to have a lot of square footage, that there's going to be low-income housing, that crime is going to go through the ceiling, all the usual phenomena that occur when a change is proposed. So that's the long and the short of what I have to say. Any questions?
Any questions?
B-R-A-G-D-O-N. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak in support of the application? Is there a designated spokesperson for the opposition?
A couple.
Okay. Are you one of them, sir? Would you like to come up?
Sure.
My name is Bob Steinbeck. I'm from Henlopen Landing, 33092 East Light Drive in Lewis. And I spoke at the zoning hearing, and I voted supposedly at the time I was in favor of this project, but I have since changed my mind because I've had time to read the covenants and to look what I signed when I came into the development. But before I get into that, I'd like to ask a question, because since I'm not an attorney or a real estate, I don't know what MR zoning is.
Medium residential.
Medium residential.
Permits 4 units to the acre, single-family homes only.
Okay.
Correct, Lawrence? He's our expert.
He has the right to apply for conditional use for multifamily.
Okay. But you got a right to apply for anything, anywhere, any place.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. But right now, that's what it is MR. Okay. And, okay, if the covenants governing a subdivision is a legal document, then all parties governed by it should have to respect and adhere to the document, including the author, in this case, the developer, Bridle Ridge. In my opinion, a covenant is to a community subdivision as the Constitution is to the United States. It should be respected. When they presented this original document, it was approved by everyone as a single family, 277 units. And we all signed a piece of paper, which was a drawing, and it's very similar to that, showed 13.1 acres as possible commercial use. But when we were told at the meetings that it was kind of, our opinions were it's better to take the townhouses and have commercial, but we were all, a lot of us were thinking that they would be able to make this 46 single family area into commercial. So that was the fear of everyone, that across the road they'll be all commercial. Well, I don't think
there'd be 30 acres commercial, not
right, 30, okay. Right, because that, to me, that's the way I read it. Now, I may have not read it the way Mr. Dyer presented it, but he has his agenda, and I'm beginning to have mine. So on the first page in the covenants, it states, whereas the developer proposes to create a planned community by the subdividing the area in lots for single family, detached houses, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's the purpose of Henlopen Landing, was to be 277 single family homes. There was no mention about, because things can't sell in the single family area, to now we'll build 138 townhouses, which will give us a lot more money and will make those people over there believe that this is good for them. Well, I am one person that isn't believing it's good. On the second page, it has a definition of annexed property. That basically states that annexed property is the property not yet identified on the development plat. Phase 4 is already identified on the plat, showing 46 single-family lots in plot book 77, page 51, and sequential drawings, which you've all seen. This new plan for 138 townhouses in the already identified phase four, in my humble opinion, is a breach of trust to the 190 plus homeowners who've already bought into this single family development. We signed a drawing, we signed the papers that said we would adhere to the covenants, but I don't believe that it was a good document in the beginning that we all signed, because it's suddenly it's being able to be changed. And I believe the county council has an obligation to protect the citizens and voters in Sussex County. After all, it is our transfer taxes and the subsequent real estate taxes that we are paying that fund the operation in Sussex County. So my humble self says, please vote against this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
There was another spokesperson.
My name is Edward Mucha, Jr. I live at 32885 Ocean Reach Drive, Lot 53 in Henlopen Landing, Lewis, Delaware. I want to say I'm opposed to the townhouses in Henlopen Landing, Phase 4. First, I want you, all of you, to put yourself in our shoes and feel the frustrations we're going through. First, a little history. Our dream was to retire at the beach in a nice single-family home community. We thought we found it at Henlopen Landing. A nice clubhouse, a pool, two large pillars with Henlopen Landing on it at the entrance. Perfect, right? The Ryan salespeople that sold us the house said this was a single-family community. They advertised it that way. The covenant states this on page one, single-family detached homes. Did you guys want a copy of that, gentlemen?
Well, you can hand it to the attorney if you want.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, Bridal Ridge wants to change all that. So now what do they want to do? First, if they get their way, they will divide our community in half. Henlopen Landing on one side, and the villas at the Cape on the other, which will be townhouses. Next, if they get their way, they will want our stormwater management ponds in the other community. I just found out there's going to be two ponds. I thought there was only going to be one over there. Could you just imagine the legal battles that will have to be down the road if something goes wrong with these ponds? And finally, the two stone pillars with Henlopen Landing is going to have to be changed. One's going to be HL and the other probably Capes of the Villas on the other. So are you starting to feel our pain? Let me tell you about the stormwater management. It doesn't work. We have pictures. Boy, do we have pictures. Here are some of the few pictures of the two heavy rains we had over the past years. Can I give them up to you? 2005, 2006.
Anything that's handed in will be made part of the record.
Okay. One rain, the large pond number one couldn't handle the rain so fast, could not handle the rains so fast enough that the water in the swale almost came up to my air conditioning unit. The other picture, the water in the swale was sitting in there so long that the small catfish swam up from pond one up to my house, and I'm two blocks away in the swale. So we have a serious problem with our ponds, both wet and dry. So now that you spent time in our shoes and feel our pain, please don't rubber stamp this for Bridal Ridge. Please stand up for the little guy, the homeowners of Henlopen Landing, and vote this down. I feel you will go home feeling better about yourself. And I also have something else.
Okay.
Just a little brief thing about the Bridal Ridge. And since we have issues with our wet and dry pond, we set up a discussion meeting last month, and Bridal Ridge attended. Wow. My first thought was, what do they want? I thought we had a better chance of getting President Bush or the Pope to attend the meeting, but my wife said, keep politics and religion out of this. But you know my point. I feel their main agenda was to sell the townhouses. Discussion came up about low price, high density housing, commercial, and townhouses. Bridal Ridge presented the issue of the townhouse as the least negative impact on our community. Since the single family homes were out of the picture as far as Bridal Ridge was concerned, and since these were the options presented, people walked away feeling this was the best option for the land in phase four at the time. The next follow-up meeting, Bridal Ridge attended with the same plot plan of the new townhouse community. This time there was a lot of discussion about commercial property. If the townhouse community did not go through, so they said it would be easier to sell commercial. This made a lot of people uneasy about their choices. In conclusion, Bridal Ridge did not present the townhouse change fairly, and the only answer was that they wanted us at Henlopen and Landing to agree to all their changes. Thank you.
I think I heard Mr. Dyer or somebody, one of the applicants, say that they admitted they had some stormwater management drainage problems, but this was going to be a fix for that. I'm surprised that you're opposed to the fix of it.
I'm not opposed to the fix. It's not working to the present day.
They admitted that, and this is what this is how they recommend fixing it.
Well, it hasn't been approved that this will be a fix. And besides, we're going to be sharing, the pond's going to be in the other community. That's going to be a legal battle for us. I feel sure that they could put a pond in our community to keep our stormwater management separate. But I feel that if they do that, they're going to have to give up lots that houses would go on. Now they would have to put the ponds. I mean, isn't it by law we're supposed to keep our stormwater management to our own community, not share it with somebody else?
Well, they would have an easement, I guess, to take that water across there. And
that he's going to approve, not us, correct?
Well, but I would think that you would support the idea of trying to get the correction made.
Yes, we want a correction made, yes.
Right. Okay.
One of the provisions in the subdivision ordinance allows the Planning and Zoning Commission to have stormwater outfall outside the boundaries of a development. So that is a possibility. It's not prohibited. That's the question you asked.
Right. That's what I asked, yeah. So this is not unusual.
Right. It doesn't happen in every case, but they have the power to do that under the zoning ordinance.
But Jim,
and it's also not only stormwater management, but collector streets that can extend or street beyond the boundaries of a subdivision.
But it doesn't have to be connected to a rezoning. The developers who own all the land, they could do it now today without a rezoning. They could do it on.
Just ask if it all had to be on site, not necessarily.
Right. I guess that's what my request was. That it would be better if we keep it on site for legal battles down the road.
Your opinion is
that's my opinion, yes.
And sir, the other thing is, it is zoned AR for them to they keep citing this commercial that if you don't like this you're going to get commercial.
Yes.
Commercial is very difficult to get. It's got much more agency scrutiny to it and everything else. And in that difficult intersection it wouldn't be easy. Right. Actually, residential is much easier, but they don't have the ability to do commercial today.
They do not.
No, they don't. There's no, that is just a speculative use of what they could do with that property. It's the only thing they can do today is AR1 residential single family homes on that piece of ground. That's all, right? Right.
Well, I got a piece of paper saying that possible future development of either residential, multifamily, or commercial use on that acreage that doesn't...
Of that statement, the only thing they're allowed to do without going through rezonings, more public hearings, and agencies, and a tremendous years of agency screening, would be residential.
Residential.
Single-family homes at 2 units per acre is all they're permitted to do. The rest of it is just what they could ask to do. Doesn't mean they'd get it. The only thing they've got is residential.
Sir, you were...
Thank you.
In your covenants, I was reading... Well, I think we just have partial covenants.
Yeah, I have the whole thing. This is
That's
mine.
Okay, but reading the covenants here, you were unaware that any phase of any project could be removed to do something else with it?
I didn't read that part, no.
So you were unaware that this could occur by ordinance, that they could take something out and try something else? You run the assumption by your salespeople that it's a single-family home community, going to be nothing else.
Right. That's what they sold us, yeah, we asked them.
Right. And the other concern you really have is you like to see your stormwater management fixed without additional development.
Correct.
Fix what you got wrong now before you go something else.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you could see it. Those were the two heavy rains we had, and water was everywhere. And I live right next to a swale, and
I saw the
see what I'm going through. And
okay, that's my question, Steve.
Thank you. Is it Mr. Campos? Did you want to say something first?
Yes. Anybody's allowed to speak, just not the three spokesmen. Everybody can speak.
First
Please
of all,
clarify
name,
that, Mr.
My name is Joe Campos. I live at on Lot 52-32883 Ocean Reach Drive, Lewis. I have here in my hand a petition that me and a few friends went through the neighborhood. I have 87 signatures, and I could have doubled it, but the people are so scared, and now what I heard today, this would make it easy for me to get a lot more signatures after I hear that this commercial property just scared everybody. And I could have done much, much better with this petition. Who would like them?
You could give it to the gentleman at the end. He's the one who puts it in the file.
He's a petition.
Thank you. The letter is on record by letter?
Yes, sir, it is.
I'd like to read it.
That's fine.
If I may?
My
name is Joe Campbell, blah, blah, in Hanalope Landing Development. When I bought the development, I was told this was going to be a single dwelling home community. Now the developers is saying that the fourth phase is going to be townhouses. I went to a homeowners meeting Saturday, October 27th, and when polled about the townhouses, at least 10 to 1 were against it. The people who live in this community should have a say. We do have land. We do not have land to donate to the state or the county, but the developer does. Do you think this might have something to do with the zoning to help the developer change the zoning? I ask. When we were told this was going to be a single dwelling neighborhood, I took them for their word. I definitely oppose this application. We were lied to, all of us who bought in this area. Could this be fraud? I just ask it. How about the traffic? 46 homes in phase four, about 92 cars. 138 townhouses, about 276 cars. 184 more cars that will be using the streets to exit onto Plantation and Road 23. We were going to buy a Ryan home off Long Neck Road, but it had townhouses in front of it. We could have bought the same house we have and saved $50,000 if we bought there. Instead, we bought in Hanalope Landing because we didn't want the townhouses. Also, would you please read the covenant? It's already been said, whereas the developer proposal, so I'll skip that part. In closing, I'd like to say we have been treated like mushrooms, kept in the dark, and fed a lot of BS. And also, we've been threatened with commercial property to go in there if we don't get the townhouses. That's all I like to say.
Is there anybody else who would like?
Your water.
Is there anyone who has not spoken that would like to speak? Okay, come on down, state your name and your address.
I'm Annette Campos, and I'm Joe's wife at 32883 Ocean Reach. I would like you gentlemen to go to this road and come into our development and try to get out onto Plantation Road. I have my grandson, and I take him to school a couple days a week, And sometimes I have to sit there 10 minutes to get out. And there's lots of families in there with children that have a hard time getting out of our development. And that's why one of the reasons I feel that I do not want those townhouses, because there'll be more traffic and you can't get out on that road the way it is now with two lanes. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
If you've already spoken, let's let someone else speak.
My name is Thomas Negrin. I live at 32941 Sandstone Drive in Henlopen Landing, Lewis, Delaware. I'm sure you're familiar with issues of governance. Saltmarsh Boulevard, having been refused by the state of Delaware to be maintained, creates a tremendous issue between this townhome development and Henlopen Landing. And with respect to maintenance, it would simply cut off Henlopen Landing's ability for example, if that road is owned by the villas, and if they don't maintain it, what is our recourse? If they say that's our road and we're responsible for it, and there is no, if they have potholes, it would really detract from the beauty of Henlopen Landing's community for people who are coming in. Stormwater management, you already heard that issue. And the problems of enforcement, of maintenance from one community to another, those are the main issues that I see with respect to having another separate community being responsible for amenities that Henlopen Landing has their entrance and egress from Saltmarsh. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else? Is there anyone who else would like to speak? Okay. What's your pleasure, gentlemen? We're
going to
close the record. Leave the record.
Oh, Mr. Cole had a question about the engineering. You want to get?
Well, it was. Yeah, they did have an assumption of 4 units to the acre, and there's nothing really. I haven't seen anything in writing that says it.
Okay.
Anything
can you
more
ask
or less.
Engineering to give us a direct answer to Mr. Cole's question, Mr. Lang?
Yes, sir.
All right. Other than that, I don't
you
see
want,
no need.
Your question being, you want to know if they.
There's capacity.
If there's capacity.
If they feel there's capacity with the other problems they've experienced in the.
And I'm assuming this record open is just for that comment.
We'll leave the record open for 2 weeks, just for that only. 2 weeks from today, closing of.
Someone could make that part of their motion.
We'll leave it open for 2 weeks today for that question only, and the opposition or whomever can come in and look at the letter, which will be in the record. You can go down to planning, zoning, see Mr. Lank, and if you're concerned about the capacity for the sewer.
And can I ask Jim a question? And
you're probably going to need, if you're going to leave it open 2 weeks for the county to respond, to allow another week at least beyond that for someone else to counter that if they disagree with it.
Okay, so I don't have a counter. Today is what, 30th?
It is.
What's the what's three Tuesdays from today?
Three from today?
Three Tuesdays?
13th of November.
Well, the 6th is...
I got it right here.
The 6th is next week.
It's the 20th of November.
20th.
Okay. All right, so the county will respond in 2 weeks from today, and we will close. We will, if you want to look at it or if you want to make written comment about the sewer capacity, you can do so before the 20th of November. Understand? You understand all that?
Yeah, I got one other question, Dale.
You'll have
before
between
before
the
13th
and the 20th. The 13th and the 20th.
Yeah. The letter will be in the...
Planning and zoning.
Yeah, and it will address the sewer capacity only. And Mr. Dyer can respond to that also, or the applicant, you know, so whatever's in the letter, in the file, you can see Mr. Lank if you are interested in that, but you'll have between the 13th and the 20th to respond to that if you want to in writing. Mr. Cole.
The other question, Jim, maybe you aren't the one to answer, maybe Mr. Burrell is, or maybe you can just generically respond to this, but what bothers me is that 3.88 acres of conveyance. Now, the word conveyance implies that it's gone off to somewhere else. It's off the table. The applicant kept saying, you can look at it, you know, on the density issue. I hate to bring up the word density, but the density issue, you can look at it this way, you can look at it this way. I think that we can't individually, there's no way we're going to come to a good decision if we're all looking at it differently, like it's in or it's out. So once a piece of property has been conveyed or implied that it's been conveyed, it should be taken off, in my opinion, off the table. And we should be looking at the parcel that's going to be developed because the other's been conveyed to somebody else, whether it's the state or an individual. So is it possible that we can come to a conclusion or a decision on are we looking at this as 29 acres or 25-plus acres? What are we looking at? What is the consensus out of this esteemed body? The
difference is 5.33 units to the acre compared to 4.7.
No. Right. The issue, Dale, is when a parcel of ground is being presented to us as an application and it shows a chunk of it's being conveyed.
Well, that was the representation of the applicant.
Right.
And I think the council,
well, I'm not disputing. Let's just
would be entitled to rely on that would not be part of this development.
Okay, so we ought to be subtracting that acreage out and looking at the application without the parts that's going to be conveyed because it's gone.
That's true.
Okay, so I mean, is that a consent? I mean, that's exactly true, right?
That's how I understood it.
So what is this true acreage that we're looking at then? That's what I'm trying to find out on this application. Then the application, the numbers should change. And we should be looking at something different.
The applicant told us what that would be with that 3.8 out.
Okay, well, what I'm trying, but I know, but there was, throughout the whole presentation, it says you can look at it either way. You can look at it either way. We shouldn't be looking, having the option, five of us looking at it either
way. The way to
we
look
ought
at
to be
it,
looking at it look one
at,
way.
You look at it with, as though the 3.8 is not going to be part of this.
Okay, well, that's what I want to know. Is that the consensus here today? So what is the number is? What is it, 29, Mr., could I ask Mr. Davidson if he would subtract out 3.8 acres?
5.44 units per acre, 25.
No, wait, what is the acreage of the application?
He that's just told you, 25.38.
25.38, okay, that's what I want to, okay. That's, so we all know what we're talking about.
That's right, I think it's right there on the second page, Mr. Cole.
Dale, I understand that, but I'm trying to get a consensus here. Is that how we're looking at it, or are we looking at it all differently?
I understood that. I don't know why you
No, I don't
consensus.
Know. I never know that, Dale, until I hear it
all right.
On the record.
Thank you. I think we beat that to death for an hour.
No, I just trying to get
I'm
you to clarify.
You don't understand it.
You're sneaky. I
got to
watch it.
All right. I need a motion to defer, gentlemen, or I need a motion to...
We'll make a motion that we defer on this application and leave the record open for the period of time Mr. Duke specified for engineering department comments. What was that period of time?
November 13th.
November 13th.
And any other comment from the applicant or opposition, November 20th.
All right. With those dates in mind, but I'll make that application. We defer and leave the record open.
Second. Wait a minute. Second. I have a motion, Mr. Cole, seconded by Mr. Rogers, to leave the record open until November the 13th to allow engineering department to respond to capacity, and then leave it open until the 20th for written comment from the applicant or the opposition at that point. Any questions on the motion?
They're calling me on that. A lady called me.
Mr. Cole?
Say yes.
Say yes, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
You don't know what you voted for.
Is
it all done?
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes. Motion is carried.
Who yet?
No one.
Need a motion to adjourn?
Okay. Now the.
I have motion to adjourn, seconded by
Rickards. Rickards were just
Mr. Phillips. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
I'm good. I thought we had.
So carried.
How we're gonna dress? Let's get it.